Blog Talk Radio.
Baruch Hashem, this is Mark Lichtenwalter. This is Fundamentally Mormon coming to you live on this 22nd day of May 2019. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. We are live streaming on Facebook at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977 and also on YouTube at youtube.com/user/GodIsMyCompass. So today we're going to be continuing on with the Gathering of Israel, Chapter 9, pages 86 through 93, Zion's Redemption, which you can find at ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. Once you get on the main page, scroll down to read Ogden's books, click on that link, and it'll take you to the page with all of Ogden's publications, and just scroll down in alphabetical order to the book titled The Gathering of Israel, and you can read along. You can also find the text to what we are reading today at fundamentallymormon.com. That's my blog. It's fundamentallymormon.com, and it'll be the top listing. I just posted it, 45 minutes ago. So we cover one chapter a day, and then after that, we'll see where it goes. So I will do the reading, and then if we have any callers who want to call in at that time, we have the studio up and running. So we do have 100 lines available for people to call in to listen if they choose to. If you do call in and listen and you do not want to be part of the show, that's fine. I won't pick on you. But if you do want to be part of the show, push 1, and that'll show me that you want to be on the show, on the studio, and I will unmute your line, and then you can make your question, comment, we can talk about whatever it is pertaining to the redemption of Zion or Mormon theology that, anybody wants. So hopefully I remember to do Jordan Bells has made another video talking about or reading Rob Kay's blog, The Mormon Yeshiva, and you can find that at Jordan Bells on YouTube. If you type in the search Mormon Yeshiva, it's pretty easy to find his videos as well as my other videos. And then you can also listen to my old radio show at blogtalkradio.com/thekingdomofgodornothing. That's also on iTunes for anybody to listen to. There's 462 episodes there. And then this is, I believe, episode 154 or 156 of Fundamentally Mormon, which is also on iTunes. Just type in Fundamentally Mormon. You can find it pretty easy there. So anyway, let me do the dedication to the program today, and we'll get right into the reading. Thank you, everyone, for joining with us. I try to do these every week, weekday, Monday through Friday at 9:30, and then it can go up to 3 hours, but usually we don't go that long. So just one chapter a day is what I've decided to do. It's just easier for people to digest one chapter a day. I used to do like between 2 to 3 hours and sometimes even 4 hour long radio programs. I just don't have it in me to do that anymore. I'm back on night shift, cause my co-driver, which had stage 4 colon cancer, he lost a lot of weight, but he started gaining it again. His numbers are really great. He is being healed and he is back in the truck, and, he's driving days, so I work 8 p.m. to 8 a.m., and he works whenever I get back, he usually shows up. So if I got back at 7 a.m. this morning, and he was out there at 7:15 jumping in the truck so he could get going. He still has chemotherapy, which he has every other week, So every other week he probably won't be driving. And then, you know what? It's been snowing here in Emory County, and they had snowplows out on the mine road. Now the mine road goes up to 8,300 feet in elevation. So yeah, up there, it's still snowing. In fact, the other night, I almost didn't make it up to the top of the hill. I had been loaded about 129,000 pounds. I pulled double belly dumps full of coal, and I was going over the pass, and the snow was coming down. It wasn't fluffy snow. It was like this hard, almost hell, but it wasn't hell. It was snow, and as soon as it covered the road completely, and it turned to ice, and I was trying to get up this hill with a fully loaded, trailers, and my drive tires were just sliding back and forth, and I was like, okay, stay on the road. But yeah, it's almost June, and we're dealing with snow. And in fact, I went down to my 13-year-old's son. He graduated from junior high yesterday. And as we were driving down to his school, I was looking up at the mountains, and it was snowing, and you could see fresh snow all over the mountains. And I was like, are you serious? What is going on? I mean, I'm happy. I like the cool weather myself. I was raised a lot up in Idaho, and I've got thick blood, and but I can't stand driving on snow. I hate it so much. It's like, and I've been driving a truck for over 20 years, and I've only gone off the road one time, and that was an oil-filled job, and there was a sheet of ice on this like pretty sharp turn, and you usually slow down to like 20 when it's dry to make this turn, but I slowed way down, and I turned the wheel, and it kept going straight, and oh, it was the truck that I was driving was a 90-barrel straight truck. So what we would do is we would go out to the well sites, and we'd take all of the natural, or well, okay, so the natural gas or oil, crude oil, and a lot of water comes up with the natural gas or the crude oil. So you pull the water off, and you pull the condensate off of the well, which is what they use to make jet fuel. And you load it up, and then you take it to a place where it separates everything and disposes of the water, pumps the water back down into the ground where it came from. It's all salt water. It's really nasty, and it's hot when it comes up out of the earth. Anyway, like I don't know why that matters, but anyway, so I was going around this turn, and I went straight when the steering wheel was turned. And on this particular truck, I had differential lockers and wheel lockers so that I could, get to places most semi trucks can't get to. And this wasn't a semi truck, of course. This is a straight truck with a 90-barrel tank on it. And so as soon as I knew I was going off the road, I thought, well, across the field there's another road, and maybe I can get to it. So as I'm about ready to go off the road, I like reached over, flipped those lockers and those differentials in, and I put it in gear and just gave her the juice, And I almost made it to the other road, but I didn't. So they had to bring out this winch truck out to pull me out, and I remember, I'll never live that one down. It was called the Carrot Patch, the place that I went off, and I have no idea why. It was on the Indian reservation, Ute Indian Reservation. And when they came out, we had to drag probably about 200 feet of cable to hook to me so that they could pull me out back the way I came. Now, luckily for me, I didn't make it because in the oil fields there are above ground pipes. But this was in the wintertime, so I did not know that there were pipes there, and I stopped right before the pipes, and they couldn't pull me over the pipes, and that would have been a natural gas disaster if I would have hit those pipes. But they were buried in snow. I didn't know they were there. That was my first year out in the oil fields. Anyway, I remember the head mechanic saying, "Well, you must have been cooking around that turn," and I was like, "No, actually, I was going like 10, but I knew I was going off the road, and I thought, well, maybe I can like power through it and get over to that other dirt road over on the other side of that little field there. And because like we would go off road all the time for things like I was on oil field emergency management, and I helped clean up whenever they had a pipeline burst or crude oil spill or anything like that. I was out there helping them clean up, and then I'd do other work, like pulling the water and the condensate and the crude oil off the wells whenever, like, you know, for something to do to keep me out there while I was waiting for the next cleanup to happen. But that was the only time in over 2.5 million miles of driving a semi-truck and all of the years that I've been driving, that was the only time I've ever slid off the road. So I've slid all over the place. Last February, I hit a patch of ice on a bridge, and my truck started going one direction, and my trailer started going the other direction, and I was able to get control of it and had almost scared me to death, you know. And then my boss, he was driving the other truck, and he said that he went on that bridge too, and he hit it, and he went completely sideways on that bridge. And usually the bridge that I'm talking about, we never have any problems there. But this particular day, it was kind of icy, and it was raining and snowing and freezing, so it got so slick. But anyway, yeah, so we're dealing with snow here. In fact, yesterday, was it yesterday? Everything runs together. Anyway, it was either yesterday or the day before. No, it was the day before. I went over to get some stuff from the truck after my co-driver got in. He's still sitting in the truck doing paperwork. And there was like snow at 6 p.m. at night, packed on the front of the truck, on the bumper. And I drive a W900 with a chrome, big chrome bumper. And like there was snow all over the truck. I was like, where did you find this at? And he said that it was between Emory and Farron, which is like about a 15-mile different, like there's a lot of desert in between Emory town and Farron, and he said it was snowing up there. And that's not even on the mountain. That's like 5,600 feet elevation, like not even going up. Like that's normal elevation in this area, and it was snowing there. But luckily, I didn't deal with snow there last night, but it was snowing up on top of the mountain. So I'm like, yeah, global warming's great, isn't it? So it's so cold here lately. Anyway, let me dedicate the program, and we'll get right into the reading. Now, this program, this reading isn't going to be that long because it's not that long of a, you know, it's only 86, pages 86 to 93. And like I said, anybody can read along with me. I have posted this chapter at fundamentallymormon.com. And then I'll post also at Zion's Redemption Bookstore after the program, The Church of the Living Messiah, LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussions, which is my Facebook group, and LDS Gospel Mysteries, which is also my Facebook group, also on my wall at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977, and the audio will be on iTunes and blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. So anyway, let's get into the reading right after I dedicate the program. O God, the Eternal Father, we come before Thee in the name of Thy Son, Yeshua, our Messiah. We continually ask for Thee to forgive us of our sins and our transgressions, that we might have Thy Spirit to dwell in us, that the temples which are our body may be cleaned, that we might be sanctified and justified in Thy sight, that we might do Thy will, learning the doctrines of the restoration, that Zion might be redeemed, that the church of the firstborn and the city of Enoch might come down out of heaven, that Thy kingdom above will join with us on the earth, that Father Adam might come back to Adam and on Diamond to prepare for the return of Yeshua, our Messiah. We ask thee, Father, to bless those who are listening and those who are seeking to do thy will, that they might not be hearers only of thy word, but actually doers. We thank thee so very much for the technology to go out worldwide in this radio broadcast and in these videos that I create. And just I ask thee, Father, to lead the remnant to the truths of the everlasting gospel, that we might be gathered together in one, in thought, in unity, and purpose. And I ask, dedicate this program and my life unto thee, and I do so in the name of our Messiah. Amen. So we are in Enzyme to the Nations, for those of you who have the book. This book can be found at ogdenkraut.com, or you can message me to purchase the book. It's $25 plus shipping and handling, which is cost. There's no money being made on the book, but it's 600 pages. And there is, let me see here. These books are in this book. Now, you can find all these books for free to read online, but if you want the physical copy, you can, it's there. Anyway, Rebaptism, The Relief Mine, 95 Theses, The Church and the Gospel, The Church and the Priesthood, The White Horse Prophecy, The United Order, The Gathering of Israel, Michael Adam, The Three Nephites, Jesus Was Married, which is the last book that we covered in Calling and Election. So, and then you can also find these books, probably, they sell out of them though, but if you can see it here, this one's actually Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, but this one right here, there are 7 volumes of these books, and they are very, very thick. And I think Ogden had published between 68 to 74, 75 books. And like I said, 7 volumes, but they're $100 a piece. They're a little expensive, but they are quality, made quality. This is a paperback. This is a quality hardbound book. And I think you can get them for cheaper than that. Sometimes they have deals, but anyway, and you can find all that, like I said, at ogdenkraut.com. And Kevin Kraut and Beverly Kraut and Amy, they, they run that print shop and they sell the books, and they're in Santa Quinn, Utah. You can look them up and go down there. Pioneer Press is their is their print shop, so, and they bind the books and everything. They're really good at what they do. So, all right, and Kevin is a personal friend of mine. So is Beverly and Amy, but Kevin is the son of Ogden Kraut. So, all right, Zion's Redemption. Let me see here. Pages 86 through 93 of Chapter 9 of The Gathering of Israel by Ogden Kraut. And like I said, you can find this, the text to read at ogdenkraut.com or fundamentallymormon.com. And I've posted that the text for what we are reading today. We believe in the literal gathering of Israel and in the restoration of the 10 tribes, and that Zion will be built upon this, the American continent. End quote, 10th article of faith. The whole American continent is the land of Zion. Jackson County, Missouri, is the center stake of Zion, and the pure in heart are the people of Zion. But at the present time, the land of Zion is burdened with the corruption and crime. The center stake of Zion has no temple. Of course, this was written, let's see, when was this written? Well, the RLDS church is there. Let's see here. Going to look. Gathering of Israel. I think it was written back in the 80s. Of course, I think that other temple was there. Well, oh, it doesn't tell me when this particular book was written. Anyway, but I'll read it. Ogden wrote it. So he wrote books between the 60s, 70s, 80s, and I think into the 90s. And I think he either died in 2002 or 2012. And I get the numbers mixed up, so I can't remember exactly. But I know he wrote throughout his whole life. His first book was Jesus Was Married. And he'd pick a topic, and then he would research it, and he would compile a ton of information on the different topics, and then he would compile them into books. And most of his books are quotes with some commentary in between the quotes. So it is, that's how he did it. So, all right, let's see here. The center stake of Zion has no temple and is surrounded with Gentiles, and the people of Zion are few and far between. But God has been seeking to gather his saints that he may elevate them enough spiritually and temporally to bring about a Zion in the land and a Zion in his people. That Zion cannot come about except by obedience to the principles of the gathering. I repeat, our mission is to preach the gospel and then to gather the people who embrace it. And why? That there might be a nucleus formed, a people gathered who would be under the inspiration of the Almighty and who would be willing to listen to the voice of God. A people who would receive and obey his word when it is made known to them. And this people, in their gathered condition, are called Zion, or the pure in heart. End quote. John Taylor, Journal of Discourses, Volume 23, page 262. We're on page 87 of the Gathering of Israel. God has always blessed his elect spiritually so that they would have the will and desire to redeem Zion. When we first received the spirit of the gospel, we received great joy therein, great peace and great satisfaction to our minds. And we are carried away in the spirit to behold the beauties of Zion and to contemplate the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Our brethren and sisters far away among the nations, when they receive the gospel and the spirit of revelation comes upon them, are delighted to contemplate the gathering of the saints. It was a matter of joy to them to dream about it and think about it when they would awake from their slumbers. They would reflect upon it through the day and talk about it in their prayer meetings and in their prayer circles at home. The subject of gathering to Zion was constantly before them if they lived so as to enjoy the spirit of their religion. This spirit caused their hearts constantly to rejoice. It was not the journey across the plains that gave them joy, but it was the contemplation of Zion in its beauty and glory, for they could not see the troubles and disappointments, the perplexities and the vexations they would have to pass through in gathering to Zion, nor did they think about the hardships they would have to endure after they were gathered. So the ancients viewed the glory of Zion in the last days. Brigham Young, Journal of Discourses, Volume 12, page 162. President Young continued to explain the work of building up Zion, but how few of the saints would prove worthy of that grand undertaking. Page 88 of the Gathering of Israel, quote, It is true, this is Zion. North and South America are Zion, and the land where the Lord commenced his work, and where he commenced, he will finish. This is the land of Zion, but we are not yet prepared to go and establish the center stake of Zion. Because of their disobedience, they were cast out of Nauvoo. And I talk about that all the time, and you can find that in section 124 if you know what to look for. It's what happened. Okay. So, and I'm not going to get into that right now, but, you know, they were cast out for disobedience, and Zion could have been redeemed when the Father came down to restore the fullness of the priesthood, if they would have finished the temple, but it was never finished. The Father never came, Jesus never came, no angels never came, the Shekinah glory of God that was on the Kirtland Temple never came, because they dragged their feet and they did things they should not have been doing. So the prophet was taken and they were kicked out, basically. Anyway, continuing, the Lord tried this in the first place. He called the people to gather to the place where the New Jerusalem and the great temple will be built, and where he will prepare for the city of Enoch. And he gave revelation after revelation, but the people could not abide them. And the church was scattered and peeled, and the people hunted from place to place, till finally they were driven into the mountains. And here we are now. Now it is for you and me to prepare to return back again, not to our fatherland in many cases, but to return east, and by to build up the center stake of Zion. We are not prepared to do this now, but we are here to learn until we are of one heart and one mind in the things of this life. Do all the Latter-day Saints arrive at this? No, they have not. Our former experience has proved this. Of the great many who have been baptized into this church, but few have been able to abide the word of the Lord, they have fallen out on the right and on the left, and have floundered by the way, and a few have gathered together. Will these be prepared to enter the celestial kingdom? Some of them will be, and will become kings and priests, but not all of these, only a portion of them. They do not know what to do with the revelations, the commandments, and the blessings of God. End quote. Brigham Young, Journal of Discourses, Volume 11, page 324. We're on page 89 of the Gathering of Israel. For nearly 150 years, the saints in general have proved themselves to be unqualified to accomplish the redemption of Zion and the building of the New Jerusalem with its magnificent temple. It seems we are further from that major event than ever before. In the early days of the church, the leaders pleaded with the saints to come and build up Zion. But today the leaders plead for the members to build up the branches. Zion will never be redeemed under the present attitude of building and strengthening the missions around the world or among the wicked. We are a spiritually immature people, generally incapable of the celestial laws required to accomplish that work. And like all these people that think they're going to be heirs to the celestial kingdom who do not keep the higher laws that God has given for that kingdom, I don't know where you think you're going, but if you're not keeping the higher laws, you don't receive the higher blessings. God has never withdrawn any of these revelations to do the things which he has asked us to do. It is not for another time, and it is not for another people. The restoration is still in an ongoing process, and we need to get to the point where we are obedient, not hearers only, but doers of the word of God. In the book of Revelation, it states that basically, there are no people that are just hearers of the word that go into the kingdom, but they who do the will of the Father. Genesis 9 of the Joseph Smith-inspired translation states that when Zion is only redeemed when there are people who live all that God has commands. He gave us the opportunity back in the 1840s to receive the fullness of the priesthood, which I believe would have been the redemption of Zion. But the people were disobedient. They clung to their false traditions, and they clung to doing their Babylonian business dealings. You know, and I was thinking about it last night as I was driving. Like, there's all of these people, and they won't let go of their false traditions because that's how they were raised, and they love their false traditions. And they bring them into the church, and and they're not from God. You know, and they say, well, we don't worry about all of that. We're saved by grace, not by works, and alike or whatever they say, you know. And I was thinking, you know, Cain and Abel were taught by Adam and Eve. They were taught how to bring a correct sacrifice to the Father, to Jehovah, our Elohim. Abel brought the correct sacrifice and he was rewarded for it. Cain did not. Cain wanted to worship God how he wanted to worship God, not how God required worship to be. You know, he wanted to do it his way, not God's way. And he could have repented even after everything happened with Abel. Well, maybe he couldn't. I don't know. But there's a debate. I'm not getting into it. I haven't received revelation one way or the other about it. But the Cain mindset is where people just do what they want to do, worship God how they want to worship him, even though in Scripture it says, do not worship me as the heathen do. But then the Catholics, you know, they bring in all of these false pagan traditions into the church. And we have suffered through Protestant and through the Reformation and the Restoration with all of these false traditions that come into the churches, and we are all polluted by them. God has said not to worship him as the pagans do, and the Catholics did exactly what God told them not to do. Well, because Rome hijacked the church. They tried to destroy the church. Eventually, they just hijacked it and took it over, and then they would kill everybody that, you know, might. Uh-oh. I got to fix something real quick. Let me see here. I lost power, and I hope I can get it back. And I don't know why I lost power. Wow. Well, I'll do the best I can. I'm not sure what's going on here. Everything seems to be hooked up just fine. But, well, like I said, do the best I can here. All right. Seems like there's always technical difficulties that happen and whatever. I don't have an office to keep everything, so I had to set everything up every day. And sometimes things don't work. Like yesterday, the YouTube video didn't work at all. Tried a couple different times to fix it. I tried to upload the video onto YouTube of yesterday's program. Wouldn't work. It kept on saying upload error. So, whatever. Anyway, let's continue. That's why I live stream this on two different, like Facebook and YouTube, by the way, and the radio show. So, all right, let's see here. We have never fully understood the temporal requirements of building Zion and the gathering of Israel. Are we prepared to establish the Zion that the Lord designs to build up? I have many times asked the question, where is the man that knows how to lay the first... Actually... Oh, okay. There was a cord. So I fixed it. All right, let's see here. Where is the man that knows how to lay the first rock for the wall that is to surround the New Jerusalem, or Zion, the Zion of God on the earth? Where is the man who knows how to construct the gate of the city? Where is the man who understands how to build up the kingdom of God in its purity and to prepare for Zion to come down to meet it? Well, says one, I thought the Lord was going to do this. So he is, if we will, or so he is, if we let him. That is what we want. We want the people to be willing to for the Lord to do it. But he will do it by means. He will not send his angels to gather up the rocks to build the New Jerusalem. See, we have to, according to Genesis chapter 9 of the Joseph Smith translation, we have to be obedient to all that God has commanded and build up Zion below. And then when we look up, Zion from above will descend and the church of the firstborn will come down out of heaven. Excuse me. Of course, I forgot my drink, my water. Gonna get through this. live radio, it's so fun. Anyway, he will not send his angels from the heavens to go to the mountain to cut the timber and make it into lumber to adorn the city of Zion. Page 90 of the Gathering of Israel. He has called upon us to do this work. And if we will let him work by, through, and with us, he can accomplish it. Otherwise, we shall fall short and shall never have the honor of building up Zion on the earth. Journal of Discourses, Volume 13, page 313. So I had a thought occur to me. Like, back then, you actually had people doing the work to build up Zion physically and spiritually. In today's world, we just give our money to the church and we expect them to do it for us, but they don't. We all covenant to live the law of consecration in the temples during the endowment. And the devil comes out and he says, all they who will not keep the covenants they have made this day will be under my power. As a warning, God placed in the endowment to warn the people, but we can't live the law of consecration as God wants us to, because it takes an organization or a group of people to actually live consecration in the United Order. And none of us do it. Well, I do know some people who try, you know, but the LDS Church, that's something that they were taught. It's in their scriptures, in the Doctrine and Covenants, and they just ignore it. 16 million members and billions of dollars in assets and tithing every year, and they don't have one united order among them, because they are not interested in building up the kingdom of God in the way that it has to be built up in order for Zion to be redeemed. They've gotten rid of so many of the deep doctrines of the restoration. And, you know, Isaiah chapter 28 states that the drunkards of Ephraim, which are in the last days, this is a prophecy directly of the saints of God during the time of the restoration, that all their tables will be full of vomit and filth. And when I asked God what this meant, he told me that they reject the meat of the gospel and look upon it with disdain, with disgust, and look upon it as filth. Because they want to be popular with the world, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, continuing on. This generation of Israelites may be compared to the first generation of Israelites under the direction of Moses, who had to pass away until another generation came who were more willing to live the laws of God. Eventually, in this dispensation, the Lord will raise up a few faithful men upon whom he can pour out his spiritual and temporal fortunes towards the redemption of Zion. They shall have temporal powers such as no king of Israel could ever equal. Orson Pratt was commanded by the Lord to prophesy, and here is one of his prophecies concerning Zion. Quote, it was promised that we should have a land as a heritage, but we were commanded of God to purchase the land. Now, when the time comes for purchasing this land, we will have means or money. How this means will be brought about, it is not for me to say. So they have the means now, but they still don't do it. They have the ability to do many things, and they just don't do it. They treat lightly the things that God has given them for the redemption of Zion and the former commandments. And they're going to do what they want to do, and they don't care about getting the people ready for Zion to be redeemed, to actually not only be hearers of the word, but doers also. Perhaps the Lord will open up mines containing gold and silver. That's the relief mine, and there's a bunch of other mines too. But or in some other way, as seemeth him best, wealth will be poured into the laps of the Latter-day Saints till they will scarcely know what to do with it. That's going to happen after the cleansing. In fact, I went up to the relief mine in 2015, I think it was, and I was invited up there with a small group of people. And a couple of years before that, Heavenly Father said that I needed to go rededicate the relief mine and to seal it up unto him. So I was like, okay, well, I'll do that if I get invited. At the time, I don't know if I knew anybody that would invite me. And I never told anybody I was supposed to do this except for maybe my wife. But one morning, one rainy morning, my wife and I were called to go with a small group of people up to the relief mine. And we went up and we hiked up to the entrance of the relief mine, which is quite a hike, especially with a wife who just gave birth to a baby like a month before that. But she insisted on coming, and we wrapped the baby up and carried the baby up, you know, and everything, and went up to the relief mine. And I was able to go in the relief mine and do what Heavenly Father had asked me to. And I was like, okay, I did it, you know. Anyway, as we were walking down, Chuck, one of the guys who takes care of maintenance and the grounds and all of that, he's a really, really interesting guy, very friendly. He and another person did not know what I had done. Because I'm not going to run around telling people, you know, hey, this is, God's told me to, you know, there's plenty of crazies who God tells them to do all kinds of things, and they're like, they don't try the spirits, as it says, as Paul talks about in his letter to Timothy. So, you know, they whatever. Anyway, but I talked with him at the bottom of the hill, and I did tell him what I had done, post tense. And he said, oh, that's interesting. The woman that I was talking with on the way down the hill, the veil is very thin for her today. And she said that there were angels all over the place, clothed in white and glory. And we didn't know. I mean, I didn't see it, you know, but this woman saw them all over the place. And he says, I wonder if it has something to do with what you did. Obviously. Yeah, it did. You know, but the time will come when the relief mine, and you can read that in this Ensign edition, missionary edition, or Ogden Kraut. And I think there's two books on the relief mine, and Bishop Coyle and all of that. And like, I know a lot of mainstream Mormons, and a lot of Mormons don't even know what the relief mine is. You want to find a fascinating subject to study and look upon? Read the relief mines, book one and two. They are fascinating. But why I brought this all out is because Orson Pratt, I think, was saying that perhaps God would give us, you know, minds and stuff. But God is not going to do that before the cleansing. So section 112, it talks about the cleansing that has to happen first among they who know me, or who say they know me and do not, those who blaspheme my name in the midst of my temple. Well, there's a cleansing that's coming. Babylonian saints who go whoring off after Babylon, who are Gentiles, basically, who pretend to be the saints of God, there's a time of reckoning coming. Whether it's at the judgment after your death, or whether it's at this cleansing that's supposed to happen according to section 121, you're not going to be coming through that time of cleansing to see these things happen. God has a specific time, and he's not going to give this wealth to the saints until it's just the remnant that are there, those who are obedient to his will, who not only talk about it, but actually implement it, live it, do as he has instructed us to do. Continuing. All right, let's see here. Perhaps the Lord will open up mines containing gold and silver, or in some other way as seemeth him best. Wealth will be poured into the laps of the Latter-day Saints till they will scarcely know what to do with it. I will prophesy again. I will hear again prophesy on the strength of the former revelation that there are no people on the face of the whole globe, not even excepting London, Paris, New York, or any of the greater mercantile cities of the globe. There are no people upon the face of the earth so rich as the Latter-day Saints will be in a few years to come. So I can kind of look at that as like propaganda, you know, but I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I do know it'll come. I don't think he realized, you know, when God in section 124 said that if you don't do what I say, you know, you'll be cursed, you'll be rejected as a church with your dead, and they didn't do what he said, so that happened. He also said, all they who hinder this work, and he's talking about building up the temple in Nauvoo, all they who hinder this work will be cursed to the third and fourth generation, which is between 120 to 160 years. Orson Pratt, I don't know if you realize that, but that's what happened. That's why you haven't gotten hardly any revelation. Thus saith the Lord, revelation, not the inspiration of whatever that you guys think you get through your apostles and prophets at General Conference. That's not revelation. Stop fooling yourselves. When you reject the revelations of God as happened before, you treat the things of God lightly, and like the revelations, the last four revelations of God given between 1880 and 1890, and they just completely reject it and do exactly what God told them not to do, you don't get no more. You're like salt that has lost its savor. New revelation in a corrupt wine bag. Perhaps that's why God has given me revelation independently of the church. I don't know. I know other people have gotten revelation. And God's no respecter of person. I believe anybody can receive revelation. Thus saith the Lord, revelation concerning doctrine and a whole bunch of other stuff. Anyway, continuing on. Having their millions, so we're on page 91 of The Gathering of Israel by Ogden Kraut. Having their millions, therefore they will purchase the land, build up cities, towns, and villages, build a great capital city at headquarters in Jackson County, Missouri. Orson Pratt, Journal of Discourses, volume 21, page 136. He has not told us in the early rise of this church if we would do his will and seek the riches that is the will of the Father, that is the will of the Father to bestow upon us. We should be the richest of all people, for the riches of eternity should be kept to us, and it must needs be, saith the Lord, that the riches of the earth are mine to give. They are all his. How easily he could turn all of the riches of the earth into our hands if we were only prepared to receive them and use them according to his will. But he knows the time to hasten them, and he knows the secret intents of our hearts as a people. He knows whether we are prepared to use the riches of the earth to build up his kingdom or not. And he will withhold them until the time shall come, or fully come, for him to bless us according to the promise that he has made, until we shall be prepared to receive them. We shall have riches then in great plenty. Gold will be so plentiful that we may find no use for it, only to make culinary or utensils, and other utensils. We may use some of it for paving our streets. So White City, the prophesied White City, that is going to be built up. And I shouldn't even get into that because this is like stuff that's most people don't know about it. But God is going to give us so much gold through the relief mine and through these other mines that we are going to use it to adorn our homes and to pave our streets with it. And if that sounds crazy to you, when John saw the city of God, he saw streets paved with gold. It's a real thing. Let's see here. Of course, it'll have to be some kind of alloy because gold's a really soft metal. So anyway, it doesn't matter. And for whatsoever is necessary, we can use the gold and silver which we have not toiled for in the gold mines of California and Australia to collect for ourselves. We shall have that which others have labored for, but were unworthy because of the wickedness. But were unworthy because of wickedness to enjoy. Orson Pratt, Journal of Discourses, Volume 2, page 263. So we're on page 92 of the Gathering of Israel, and then the last one will be page 93. And then tomorrow we'll come back and we'll get into the Second Coming of the Savior, which is chapter 10 of the Gathering of Israel. And that's going to be a really short one, too. It's only 4 pages long. So, all right, 92. And like I said, the guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. If you have questions or comments or want to make statements, whatever, that's 917-889-8827. And if you do call in, push 1, and I will bring you up on the radio show. So, page 92 of the Gathering of Israel, for the true use of gold is for paving streets, covering houses, and making culinary dishes. And when the saints shall have preached the gospel, raised grain, and built up cities enough, the Lord will open a way for the supply of gold to the perfect satisfaction of his people. Until that time, let them not be so anxious, for the treasures of the earth are in the Lord's storehouse, and he will open the doors thereof when and where he pleases. End quote. Brigham Young at Home, page 252. Zion must have a people who are free from the world's present evils when temporal power is sufficient for the saints to control their own laws, administered according to the will of God, then we shall be called the people of Zion. But if we had our ways as Latter-day Saints, there would be no drinking saloons, there would be no houses of ill fame, there would be no gambling in saloons. There would be nothing of this character permitted in our cities or in our settlements. We would not only be free from litigation and strife, as I have said, we are as a people, but we, Eliza, what? You can go downstairs in the bathroom downstairs. Are you going to use the bathroom downstairs? Okay. What? Okay, you can use the one up here too, but you have to close the door, okay? That's my 4-year-old. She has to go potty, so. Anyway, but we would be free from those other evils, those other vices. George Q. Cannon, Journal of Discourses, Volume 24, page 134. We are here also to build up a Zion unto our God, wherein his laws can be taught, the principles of eternal truth can be communicated, and relationship and communication opened between the heavens and the earth, and men placed in a position whereby they will be enabled to act intelligently in regards to all matters pertaining to this world, as well as the world that is to come. John Taylor, Journal of Discourses, Volume 26, page 67, and we are on page 93, which is the last page of this chapter. And once again, this is the last time I'm going to say it, but there is guest call-in lines for anybody who is watching or listening. That is 917-889-8827. The laws and principles of Zion are foreign to the people of the world, and the laws and principles of the world should be foreign to the Latter-day Saints. Hence, it is necessary for the saints of God to rid themselves of all wicked practices, customs, and rules. So, what is it to be wicked? When you have the truth of God, say that that's one strand, and then you've got the traditions of Babylon the Great in the world, and then you try to twist up the tradition or the truth of God with the traditions, the false traditions of paganism and Babylon the Great. It's like a wick, right? That's what it means to be wicked, to try to corrupt the righteous with those things which are not righteous. That is what it truly means to be wicked. Wash your hands. All right. They must reestablish the laws and principles of heaven on earth. It will be a major miracle to gather even the elect of Israel and to cleanse the land of Zion and the people of Zion from all worldly iniquities. And what does iniquity mean in Hebrew? It means to veer from the path that God has laid out for you to follow. So to repent from your iniquities means to come back to the path which God has given. Now we've got the instructions right here in the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, the Pearl of Great Price, the New and the Old Testaments. We have what we need for the redemption of Zion. And we also have a bunch of stuff from the Prophet Joseph Smith, you know, to help us to get back on the correct path. But when we go off and we do some other thing that we're not told to do, that we're not, you know, that is what it means to be iniquitous, to be in iniquity. And the whole church is in iniquity right now because they've got the instructions right here. I shouldn't have to come down here on the earth and tell you people. I'm just reminded of that. I used to live back east, and every once in a while I would see a sign, and it would be a black sign with white letters, and it would say, "Don't make me come down there," and then down at the bottom it would say, "God." You know, I shouldn't have to come down here to tell the saints what to do. And, like, the other thing that drives me insane is you got a lot of people who think they know all about this stuff, and they talk about it till they turn blue in the face, but you never see them trying to implement these things. Oh, sure, they'll go live polygamy because that is, well, they think it's fun. It's hard, according to the people that I know. I am still the two women, but my first wife and I have not been together for a very long time, and she's never been married again, and she never had kids. But we're still sealed, you know. That was before my second wife, so. So I've never actually lived it, but I know lots of people who have, and they tell me it is not easy. So anyway, but, you know, they'll do certain things, but they won't go the full distance and actually live all that God has commanded, you know. Anyway, continuing on, when that is accomplished, Zion will be redeemed. So anyway, we don't have anybody on the guest call-in lines, and I guess that's it. We've been in it for almost exactly an hour. So let me see if I can maybe I can play Jordan Bell's thing on here. Actually, you know what? I'm not even going to worry about it right now. So I'm tired. I got to get the girls to the babysitters and then take my nap until 7 p.m. tonight when I get to go back to work and do all the work stuff. Luckily, my wife and kids are all getting out of school. My wife is an elementary school teacher, and I think they have to have their room cleaned up by tomorrow, and then they're done for the summer. So, and my son's going to Lagoon tomorrow with the junior high class. they're the seniors of junior high, right? They'll be in high school next year. And then my kindergartner got out of school on Friday, but my 10-year-old is still in school until tomorrow. And then on Friday, she's out of school for the summer. So we're all excited. I am happy that I'm going to be able to work and not have to worry about getting home on time to make sure I get the girls ready for school and everything, which is what dealt with all summer. What? Are you playing in the bathroom? You need to go downstairs and watch your show. You're hungry? Okay, I'll get you something to eat, but you need to go downstairs and watch your show and stop playing in the bathroom. Love you. Okay, wash your hands. That's a 4-year-old. Anyway, so also the other thing for people who are watching. Oh, hi, Kevin. How are you getting internet on a cruise ship, Kevin? I just finished the reading too, so I'm about to wrap it up. But Kevin is my personal food bringer-er from Schwan's. And he is enjoying time with his wife on a cruise. I think it was to Catalina Island and somewhere else. Anyway, but I just saw he popped up, and I'm like, how, if you're on the cruise ship, maybe he's only on a one-day cruise. I don't know. That was yesterday or the day before when I saw that, so maybe I'm just wrong. Anyway, I'm going to let it be at that, be done with that, and we don't have anybody calling in, so I'm going to end the program now. So thank you, everyone, for watching this program. And don't forget to check out Zion's Redemption Bookstore page on Facebook and the Church of the Living Messiah and fundamentallymormon.com and all the other places I post stuff. So I'm going to be done with it. Thank you for watching, everyone. Take care. God bless. Goodbye.